WMRA News. I'm Bob Levicky. Former Governor Gerald Biles dies at his home in Charlottesville. The former nurse at the regional jail in Lexington gets a year in prison for falsifying the record of an inmate's beating. And Democratic Representative Abigail Spanberger wants more transparency in drug prices. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, October 30th. Virginia's 65th governor, Gerald L. Biles, died Tuesday at his home in Charlottesville. He succumbed to kidney cancer at the age of 79. The Democrat was a pivotal figure in creating a, quote, new Virginia, Charles Fishburne from VPM News reports.
His running mates were Doug Wilder and Mary Sue Terry. Terry became the first woman elected to hold statewide office. Wilder later became the nation's first African-American governor. And in later years, Biles continued his crusade for diversity and civility in government at UVA's Miller Center.
Both Democratic and Republican values have become more partisan over the past 25 years.
Biles at a leadership summit at the University of Richmond in 2012.
I do not suggest that the situation will be easily resolved. I only say it has to be resolved. We have no choice. Or perhaps more to the point, you have no choice.
While governor, Biles increased funding for transportation, education, and the environment. He traveled to more than 20 countries to promote Virginia businesses, and he pushed a $100 million cleanup of the Chesapeake Bay. He died at home in Charlottesville at the age of 79. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Lawyers for opponents of a proposed natural gas compressor station in a historic African-American community argued their case in court Tuesday. They claim Virginia regulators failed to carefully consider the potential health impacts of the facility and the, quote, unequal treatment of the people who live near it. Opponents want to overturn a permit granted in January to developers of the Atlantic Coast Pipeline. They argued their case before the Fourth Circuit U.S. Court of Appeals in Richmond. The proposed compressor station would be built in Union Hill, an unincorporated community founded by freed slaves. Residents and environmental activists are concerned that exhaust from the station could cause harmful health effects on nearby residents in Buckingham County. The Atlantic Coast Pipeline would run 600 miles and carry fracked natural gas from West Virginia into Virginia and North Carolina. It has been mired in legal challenges by environmental and conservation groups. Construction has been halted since December. A former head nurse at the Rockbridge Regional Jail has been sentenced to prison for falsifying records about injuries an inmate suffered from other prisoners. On Tuesday, a U.S. district judge sentenced 59-year-old Gary Andrew Hassler to 1 year in prison. Hassler was convicted in July of falsifying a document to impede the investigation into the jail superintendent, John Higgins. The Roanoke Times reports Higgins is accused of failing to protect the beaten inmate and denying him care. Hassler maintains he asked the inmate if he needed care, and the inmate twice refused. Hassler said he realized he had not documented those conversations and days later filed a report after that inmate had been admitted to a hospital for his injuries. Higgins faces 21 charges at his December trial. A former University of Virginia football player has been convicted of scamming investors out of $10 million. Merrill Robertson Jr. was convicted Monday of conspiracy, mail fraud, wire fraud, bank fraud, and money laundering. Prosecutors say the 39-year-old Robertson and a co-conspirator operated a Richmond investment agency that sold promissory notes with a promised annual return of up to 20%. Instead, they used much of the invested money for mortgage payments, cars, vacations, and a luxury suite in a football stadium. Authorities say Robertson identified potential investors through contacts he developed playing football at Fork Union Military Academy and at the University of Virginia. He was first convicted in 2017, but won a new trial. Sentencing is scheduled for January 3rd. Home health aides are the fastest growing occupation in Virginia, and a new political group is aiming to translate the growing numbers of domestic workers into political influence. From VPM News, Ben Pavier reports.
A few years ago, Selena Young worked as a caregiver for an elderly client. They spent most of the day together.
And I considered her a friend. She wasn't just a client to me.
But Young says many domestic workers aren't fully covered by many labor laws.
Many people are burned out and worn thin.
Now she's working as an organizer for a group called Care in Action. It's committing $300,000 and hiring canvassers to help elect women of color to the General Assembly, since many domestic workers also fit that profile.
They need more representation.
The group first entered politics last year with Georgia's state elections. Their goal is to pass new laws that protect domestic workers on issues like sexual harassment and overtime pay. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
How much should the public know about how drug prices are calculated? One Virginia representative hopes to increase transparency. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports.
Congresswoman Abigail Spanberger, a Democrat from the Richmond suburbs, has a bill that would allow the public to see more information about how rebates and discounts factor into drug prices. The bill would require the federal government to publish all the information submitted about drug discounts online for everyone to see. Here's Spanberger speaking on the House floor about the bill.
In every community in the 7th District of Virginia, from Chesterfield to Culpeper, the extremely personal effects of rising prescription drug costs are on full display.
Jack Hoadley at Georgetown University says the bill would go a long way to help people understand how pharmacy benefit managers work.
By itself, it's not going to change prices of drugs, but it allows us more information about how drug pricing works and how discounts work.
The bill swept through the House of Representatives this week with zero no votes. Now it's on its way to the Senate and potentially even to the president's desk to be signed into law. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, a statewide study recently found that 40% of Virginia's five-year-olds were not ready for kindergarten. The governor, a pediatric neurologist, and his wife, a teacher, knew some of those kids would fall behind in school and never catch up. That's why they hired a chief school readiness officer and launched a $10 million program to study and fix the problem. Virginia Public Radio's Sandy Hausman has that story.
Today's preschool is more than story time and naps. Building blocks and snacks.
One little, two little, three little buses.
Before heading to kindergarten, 21st century children are expected to know their numbers, letters, and colors, to have mastered certain social skills, and to control their behavior.
You know, it's not babysitting anymore, and whether it's an infant, a toddler, a 3 or 4 year old, every kid deserves a learning environment that supports them to grow.
That's Jenna Conway, Virginia's first chief readiness officer. She says kids who don't know letters or numbers can quickly catch up, but learning appropriate behavior takes time.
Hello there, friendly crocodile. May we inspect your perfect smile and count your teeth? 1, 2, 3. Ooh! No, no, dear croc. We're not your tea.
Whether they lack academic, social, or behavioral skills, Conway says 40% of Virginia's kids, nearly 30,000 of them, are not ready for kindergarten when the time comes, often because they haven't had access to high-quality preschool.
Right now, in the Commonwealth, infant care costs more than in-state tuition. And so parents are scrambling and having to put their kids in unlicensed, unregulated, unsafe settings while they're just trying to keep their job.
So she and her team have set out to fix that.
We've registered nearly 600 sites and engaged over 3,000 teachers. We got 80% of our teachers responded to a survey explaining some of what their experience is like and how we can better support them.
Among other things, she says, preschool teachers need guidance.
Most of our infant and toddler teachers never receive feedback. We don't actually treat them like professional educators. And so we're going in across 27 jurisdictions, about 20% of the state through this pilot, and making sure that every infant, toddler, 3 and 4 year old teacher gets feedback and supports to be the best educator they can be.
At UVA's School of Education, Dean Bob Pianta applauds the effort and suggests that preschool programs need a formal way to work with public and private schools to assure that everyone is on the same page.
A lot of communities across the country, they'll set up an early learning council that doesn't just involve childcare and preschools. It involves the elementary schools in that community. And really what you need is that kind of overarching structure that enables planning to take place in a coordinated fashion.
Conway adds that outreach to parents is also important to assuring children are ready for kindergarten.
We have to recognize that our families are our kids' first teachers. And so helping our families understand, how do you support the learning? learning. It's not a flashcard. It's not a worksheet. It's about kind of giving kids opportunity to tell stories and engage, reading to kids every single night, even when they're really little and you're not sure that they're understanding yet, and constantly talking to your kids.
That's because good language skills are key to suitable school behavior.
The best way a kid can deal with big emotions is if he or she has the ability to talk about it and explain their feelings.
Time will tell whether this new emphasis on early education will make a difference as students make their way through school. But superintendents, school administrators, researchers, and government officials are interested. About 200 of them attended a conference on the subject at UVA, and Virginia has applied for a $37.5 million federal grant to expand its program, hoping to support preschools statewide. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Hausman.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoy your Wednesday.